This podcast is supported by Emerson. From technology that delivers cures at warp speed to software that makes clean energy reliable, Emerson Innovation helps make the world healthier, safer, smarter, and more sustainable. Emerson, go boldly.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, May 15th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Twitter is getting a new boss. How will the advertising executive impact Twitter's future? And is Elon Musk really giving up control of the company he purchased for $44 billion? Our Twitter reporter Alexa Kors will join us to explain. Plus, Apple is taking a different approach to launching its newest device. Our Apple reporter Aaron Tilley will tell us why the company is taking a rare risk with its new mixed reality headset. Starting with that news from Twitter. Last week, Elon Musk said he'd chosen a new CEO for the platform, Linda Yaccarino. And in an earlier tweet, he said she would take over in about 6 weeks. Musk, who took over as CEO when he bought Twitter in October, said last year he planned to hand over the reins to a new CEO. But for a company that's already gone through a lot of transformation in a short period, what does this mean? With me now to discuss it is Twitter reporter Alexa Kors. Alexa, can you start by telling us who Linda Yaccarino is and what do we know about her background?
Yeah, Yaccarino comes from a previous role as chairman of global advertising and partnerships at NBC Universal. She was with NBCU for more than a decade. And I think the real takeaway is that she is known in the advertising world. She has a lot of experience in advertising.
How does her background fit with Musk's vision for what Twitter is going to be or for what he wants Twitter to become?
Twitter has typically gotten most of its revenue, nearly 90% from advertising. So advertising is just such a key role. And that seems to be what industry watchers are taking away from this announcement is that this seems to be a way to improve how Twitter 2.0 is doing with advertising, work on those relationships with advertisers, which, as we know, has been a struggle since Musk took over.
And can you remind us how advertising has been doing since he took over?
It's been tough. A lot of advertisers had concerns about how Musk might approach content moderation. They had concerns about the new direction and leadership of the company, and many of them paused spending on Twitter. Some say they've come back. Others say they still have stayed off Twitter. And the big question here is, what can Twitter do to fix that going forward?
All right. Once she takes over, what does Musk's role turn into?
Musk said he is still going to be involved in Twitter. He said he will transition to an executive chairman and CTO role, and he'll still be responsible for overseeing product, software, system operations. But the way Musk put it Friday morning is that Yaccarino will focus primarily on business operations while he focuses on product design and technology.
Have we seen Yaccarino and Musk interact at all in the past?
Yeah, actually, last month, she conducted an onstage interview with Musk at a conference in Miami Beach. During that interview, she pressed him on some issues. She asked about his sometimes controversial tweets, but she also struck some positive notes. And I actually have a quote here that I wrote down that stood out to me, where she said, quote, "If freedom of speech, as he says, is the bedrock of this country, I'm not sure there's anyone in this room who could disagree with that."
So what does that tell us about their potential relationship managing Twitter together?
That's a big question, right? It seems like the strategy is that she can focus on business operations, advertising, while Musk can focus on technology. But certainly there are going to be questions like content moderation policies, freedom of speech that fall on leaders of a social media platform.
All right, that was our Twitter reporter, Alexa Kors. Netflix plans to reduce spending by $300 million this year, according to people familiar with the matter. They said while there were no plans for a hiring freeze or additional layoffs, staff were urged to be careful with their spending, especially around hiring. Netflix had planned to crack down on password sharing in the first quarter, but pushed back those plans, meaning new revenue expected to be generated by that change won't come in until later in the year. A Netflix spokeswoman declined to comment. Okay, coming up, Apple has a new device that breaks the company's own rules about how to launch a product. Our Apple reporter will join us to explain after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
Apple is known for its standout devices. The iPod, iPhone, and Apple Watch have historically dominated their product sectors. Now, Apple is getting ready to unveil one of its most experimental and unconventional products in its history, a headset that combines a virtual and augmented realities. The device, which is expected to debut at its annual software conference in June, is set to break a lot of norms for how the company releases products. Our Apple reporter Aaron Tilley is with us to explain. So Aaron, you've spoken to people familiar with this project. Can you start by describing what we can expect the headset to look like?
Yeah, so it's going to be a pair of goggles, sort of like ski goggles, wrapped around your head. There's going to be an attachment with a external battery pack that will sit on your hip. And it's going to be like essentially like a VR device where it completely encloses you in this virtual world. But on top of that, there's going to be a lot of cameras sitting out front of the device that can show you the world around it and give you an ability to see the world around you and overlay all this sort of virtual world stuff on top.
What makes this product different from products that Apple has launched in the past?
Yeah, so I think really what marks this as different for Apple is they're coming into a new category that is still extremely unproven. In the past, they've really entered into markets that are quite a lot more well-established. You know, Apple has a history of coming into categories and really making them. You saw that with digital media players, with the iPod, smartphones, with iPhone, wearables, with the Apple Watch. So certainly Apple has a track record of really making a market, but in entering into this space, whatever you want to call it, the metaverse, mixed reality, augmented virtual reality, it's just so early in this space, and Apple really needs to get going much earlier than I think they would have in the past.
From a product design perspective, a headset was never going to look like an iPhone. But is there anything that's different in the way Apple has approached this headset as opposed to other products it's released in the past?
Certainly, design-wise, it's going to not be as sleek as other Apple products. The external battery pack will, I think, add to a certain amount of clunkiness in terms of design. And we've seen other headsets of this type kind of launch with these separate packs. Like, for example, the Magic Leap has a pack that sits on your waist that has the computer chips and the battery. But for Apple, you'd expect maybe a more contained and sleek appearance and design. And on top of that, Apple is entering this market without a lot of expectation in terms of demand.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because other companies that make headsets and are in the virtual reality space, they've been struggling to build a robust market here. So why does Apple want to get into this space?
There are a lot of people saying it is the next big stage for technology, how people experience technology, and how they will experience the world in the future. And so I think everybody's sort of experimenting. And if you're an important player in consumer electronics, like obviously Apple is, you have to be trying these things out and you have to have some stake in this.
What did industry analysts that you spoke to say Apple's chances are of standing out in this market?
I think because it's Apple, everybody's expecting something pretty impressive. Maybe it's not the end-all be-all of what we expect from this kind of technology, but it's certainly going to sit above many others. Some people are certainly skeptical of the product and really its place in the market. I think there is plenty of skepticism whether or not Apple really even needs to do this. A former director in their marketing department, Michael Gartenberg, said that he doesn't really see this as an Apple product, given the sort of limited appeal it will have.
Why is Apple's CEO Tim Cook taking this risk? And does he have anything to lose if Apple doesn't make a big splash in headsets?
I think they've spent enough money on it and enough time that to not launch anything, and certainly I've heard this from people, that would be a mistake. It's been many years since Apple's entered into a major new category. Last time was nearly a decade ago with the Apple Watch, and it's time for the company to keep releasing new products. It can't just keep relying on the iPhone forever.
So when do we expect this product to be released? And for people who might want it, how much is it going to cost?
So far, it appears, based on conversations with folks, that their plan is to announce it in June at their developers conference. And just as a caveat there, they could always delay it. And the price tag is looking around $3,000, so quite a lot of money.
All right, that was our reporter, Aaron Tilley. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you like the show, please leave us a rating and review. It helps other listeners find us. And if you want to find out more about any of the stories we've covered, head over to our website, WSJ.com. You'll find a lot more tech news there. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.